If you brought your Bible, open with me to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In May 1940, Adolf Hitler unleashed his troops against France and Belgium. The Allied troops in the Nazis' path were surrounded by the Germans on three sides with the sea behind them. The Allies were trapped and everyone knew it. A German high command boasted that their troops were proceeding to annihilate the British army, and Prime Minister Winston Churchill was preparing himself to deliver the news that more than 300,000 soldiers had been captured or killed. But later that month, King George VI called for a national day of prayer, and the British people devoted themselves entirely to prayer for that day. Churches were filled to the brim with people, literally to the point where people were lining up outside the churches to wait for their turn to come in and pray. At the same time, the British military decided to get all of the soldiers out that they could. They were unable to bring enough military ships to carry all the endangered troops, and so a call went out for the aid of any vessel willing to cross the English Channel and assist in saving these trapped men. More than 800 vessels answered the call. Even as the Allies raced to lessen what seemed to be certain catastrophe, Hitler called his troops to a halt. And for 3 days, Nazi tanks and soldiers stood idly by as the Allies frantically evacuated their men. At the same point, poor weather grounded the German Air Force and allowed the Allied soldiers to return to the beach in the evacuation without hindrance. The evacuation itself took place on unusually calm seas. What became known as the Miracle of Dunkirk, perhaps some of you have seen the recent movie with that name. To this day, historians are baffled as to why Hitler suddenly called a halt to his advances when victory was all but assured. The German generals themselves were clueless as to why they were not allowed to chase down and obliterate their allies. It was a miraculous answer to prayer. What happened? The church prayed. And I know you've heard it, and I know you've heard it so many times, but I'll say it again. Prayer changes things. Prayer is powerful. Billy Graham is known for saying, to get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. Prayer is the very thing that will change your circumstances, and it's the very thing that'll change our country. It'll change our land. And I want to walk through Matthew chapter 6 today as I address the spiritual discipline of prayer. You know, prayer is a discipline. Have you figured that out? You got to discipline yourself to do it. But once you do it, it brings tremendous results. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, Jesus says this: "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." I want you to notice Jesus' opening words in this passage. He says, "And when you pray," not "if you pray." He says it three times in this passage. When you pray, not if you pray. The assumption is this. Jesus' assumption is this. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a person of prayer. It's not a matter of if. It's not. Prayer is not like an evacuation lever that you go to grab when you're in trouble. If you are a follower of Jesus, the assumption is this. You pray. When you pray, Jesus says, don't be like certain people. You know, certain people, they pray, and the thing that they're thinking about the most while they pray is what other people are thinking about their prayer. They pray, he says, these religious people, they pray and they use all kind of fancy words and they talk for real long and they do it in public because they want to impress other people. So if you pray, if when you pray in a public setting, the primary thing on your mind is what other people are thinking about your prayer, your heart's in the wrong place. Gee, I wonder if I'm talking loud enough. I wonder if I'm supposed to pray louder. I wonder if I'm supposed to pray quieter. I wonder if I'm supposed to use this or say this or talk like this. Or I wonder if, what does so-and-so think about me when I pray? Do they think I'm praying too long? Do they think I prayed for long enough? How effective is that prayer? Not very effective. Who should you be thinking about when you pray? Jesus. Prayer is about Jesus. So Jesus says, when you pray, don't be concerned about what other people are thinking. And if that's your concern, if you're so consumed with what other people are thinking about you, then here's the solution for you. You need to spend just a whole lot of time just praying by yourself in your closet, just you and Jesus. You need to get that right, because prayer is your fellowship with God. Prayer is your interaction with God. And when you pray, God moves. And when you don't pray, God doesn't move. So Jesus says, get your heart right. And then he says this in verse 8. For you know that your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Isn't that amazing? Do you know that when you pray, you are not informing God? You're not getting him caught up on all the things that he might have missed. God knows what you're going to pray before you pray it. So the question is, why do we need to pray? Come on, let's be honest. Why do we need to pray if God knows what's on our mind? Does God know what you're concerned about right now? Does he know the struggles that you have? Does he know the needs that are in your life? And why do you have to tell him? Why can't we just, at the end of the day, just kind of look up in God and go, that'd be a little bit more effective, don't you think? We can spend a little bit more time with our family. We can spend a little more time at work. Why do we need to spend time praying? God knows everything. God knows what he needs, what we need. Why doesn't he just do it? I was at the grocery store last week with the family, and I was a little bit farther ahead, and I turned behind, and my eyes met my three-year-old Kenny, and he went. You can't just wink at God. Like, come on, like, you know what I need. Just do what I need. Just do what, you know, God, you're just gonna do what you're gonna do anyways, right? Like, if it's God's will and you're just gonna do it anyways, so why do I need to pray about it? No, we need to pray because prayer is relational. It's relational. Prayer is about relationship. You pray to God because you have a relationship with God. It's a means of connection. If you have a relationship with your spouse, you talk to them, don't you? Don't you? Like, if you have a good relationship, right? You talk. You don't just turn to your spouse at the end of the night and go. Maybe you do. But maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should talk a little bit more than that. Prayer is not an emergency lever. It's relational. It's a relationship. So Jesus' assumption is this. When you pray, the people of God are supposed to be a people of prayer. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. And we need to have it in our lives. Mark 11, 24 says this, when whatever you ask in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. I don't know how you can get much more clearer than that. Don't ever stop praying. James 5, 16 says, pray for one another that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Philippians 4, 6 says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is central to the life of a child of God. Central. You can't breathe spiritually without praying. You can't breathe spiritually without praying. Does that make sense to anybody? It's your only way. It is your connecting point with God is through prayer. And it's not through giving him a laundry list of things that you want him to do in your life, although that is a part of prayer, is asking him for things. It's relational. It's a conversation. And it actually involves taking time to stop talking and listen. How many of us have one-way prayer lives with God? You don't have to raise your hand. Dear Heavenly Father, dot, 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 dot. In Jesus' name, amen. See you tomorrow. And we don't let God speak back to us. So I want to walk you through a prayer that you know so well, you probably don't need to read it to hear it. But we'll read it anyways together. Verse 9. Jesus says this, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. You've heard this prayer so many times. If you went to public school before 1988, you prayed this every day in school. It's a prayer that the church has been praying for 2,000 years, and to many people it's become a poem, something that you cross-stitch and put on the wall, and it's lost its meaning and it's lost its significance. And I want to walk you through line by line and give you a description of what prayer is according to Jesus. The prayer starts like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. What is that? That's worship. That's worship. When you begin a conversation with God, before you do anything else, ladies and gentlemen, you worship. You worship. Prayer is worship. Our Father in heaven, your name is holy. What is that? You're worshiping God. You're glorifying him. Now, you don't have to use that word. You think about a word that you know about God. God, you're so faithful. God, I just thank you that you're so good. I thank you that you're so loving. You know what word I've been using a lot when I pray for myself? God, you're so patient. And is God patient with anyone else in the room? My, my. I've been doing some looking in the mirror recently, and then I look in the mirror, and then I look in the Word, and I look at where I'm supposed to be, and I look at where I am, and I say, thank you, God, you're so patient with me. You're so patient with me. Because we're just so stubborn. I don't know about you, but I can be stubborn. And God's like, I need you to change. And I'm like, yeah, maybe next decade. God, you're so patient. You know what that is? That's worship. God, you're so faithful. God, you're so good. God, you're so generous. When God blesses you with, you get something, you get a gift from a loved one, or you get a raise at work, or you get something in your life, God, you're so generous. Whatever words you can find, include that in your prayers. Father in heaven, holy is your name. It's worship. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is that? That's invitation. Prayer is inviting God into your life. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is inviting God to do his will in your life. So what is the will of God? How do you determine the will of God? Just look at heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? No, no sickness in heaven. So how do I know whether or not it's God's will to heal somebody? Well, there's no sickness in heaven. So I pray, God, your will be done in this person's life. I'm praying for healing. God, I pray that you would do a healing work in this person's life. You're praying for God's perfect will in heaven to be done in earth. You invite him in. You invite him to follow you into every aspect of your day. That you would invite him. You'd say, God, go with me to work today. God, I invite you into my staff meeting this week. I invite you into that sales pitch meeting. I invite you into my dining room table this week. I invite you into my conversations with my children this week. I invite you. Prayer is inviting the Holy Spirit to go with you wherever you go. Now, spiritual laziness says this. But Pastor Tim, the Bible says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll go with us. I mean, he'll go with us everywhere. He'll go with us if I go into places I shouldn't go. Is that true? Will God go with you into places that you shouldn't go? Some of you are like, I don't know. Yes, he will. He's everywhere, and he's in you if you're a child of God. But there's a difference between tagging along with someone and being invited, isn't it? God wants you to invite him to be with you. He wants you to want him to be with you in your day. So you invite him, and you send him with your kids. When your kids go to school, when they get on the bus at school, you invite God. God, go with my children. Protect them. Be with them. Surround them with the right people. Surround them with the word. Right influence. You're inviting God. Prayer is invitation. God is such a perfect gentleman. He will not force himself on anybody. And if you don't invite him into your day, you just might live through that day without noticing him. Isn't that interesting? The less you invite God to be in your day, the less you'll see him. It's not because he's not there. It's just that you haven't welcomed him into your day. Prayer is worship. Prayer is invitational. And thirdly, prayer is practical. Give us this day our daily bread. Prayer is practical. Prayer is real. When you have needs, ask God to meet them. Give us this day our daily bread. What is that? That's practical. Whatever needs you have in your life, God, I'm asking that you would meet it. Sometimes we get beat up and told that we can't ask God for things because all we're supposed to do is worship him, and all we're supposed to do is pray for the tragedies going on across the world, and we're supposed to pray for other people, and we can feel so bad praying about ourselves. Jesus says to pray for yourself. I'll give you one good reason that you should pray for yourself, because there's a chance that nobody else is. I learned that from Joyce. Joyce Meyer says, you better take time to pray for yourself, because it's an unfortunate, sad reality that there is a possibility that nobody else is praying for you. I know that's an incredibly depressing thought, but pray for yourself. It's okay to pray, God, meet my needs today. God, I have a need. God, I have a bill. God, I have a sickness. God, I have relational strife. Meet my need. Prayer is practical. Prayer is real. Don't just pretend. Don't go before God and make a show and so that you think that you're impressing God by being Mr. Spiritual and just praying for other nations and other people. And, oh, I just pray for my neighbors. I don't pray for myself. No, pray for yourself. Say, God, meet my needs today. Meet my kids' needs today. Prayer is practical. And number four, prayer is confession, and it is reconciliation. Jesus says to pray this, forgive us our debts or our sins, as we have also forgiven our debtors or those who have sinned against us. Prayer is confessing your sins to God. Prayer, when you pray, make a practice, discipline yourself to tell God where you've sinned. I know this sounds basic, but sometimes we forget to do this. Prayer must involve confessing your sins. And I'm not saying that you got to find every little thing that you did wrong that day, and if you don't confess it, then God's... No. I'm just saying it's a healthy practice to examine your day, examine your life, examine what's going on in your heart and in your mind. And when you notice areas in your life that are sinful, confess them to God. So I'll give you an example. I was getting Kenny changed the other day and putting his pajamas on at the end of the night. And something happens right before bedtime. Isn't it true, parents, where kids all of a sudden have like this amazing amount of energy, right? Like it's finally time to sleep and you want to like rule the world here. And so he's just like talking. Daddy, talking. And I'm getting him changed, talking. Does that irritate anybody else? Daddy, talking. And I'm getting frustrated. And he says, hey, Daddy, guess what? And I could feel my flesh. I almost feel like I had an out-of-body experience. I experienced what my flesh wanted me to do, but I didn't do it. I experienced my flesh going, what? I didn't. I caught myself. Anybody like catch yourself? Like you're just about to do something that you know is bad and you catch yourself. I caught myself. He said, Daddy, guess what? I took a breath. I said, what? He said, I love you. Oh. I had some confessing of sins to do that night. Because even though I didn't do it, even though I didn't manifest what I wanted to do, I still wanted to do it. I still got angry. I let something foolish get under my skin and cause frustration and let me get irritable with my son. And so I confess that as sin. That's just a small example. Prayer is confession. God, forgive me. I lost my patience with my kids today. How many parents can say amen to that? I just pray that every day. Prayer is confession. Prayer is more than just confession. It's reconciliation. Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. God, forgive me of my sins as I have, past tense. You notice that? Have, past tense, forgiven those who have sinned against me. Have, past tense. Have. I have forgiven them. You know what that means? Before you ask God to forgive you of your sins, what should you do? You should forgive those who sinned against you. Not, God, please forgive me of my sins, and oh yeah, I'll work on that. No, as we have, past tense, means you've got to examine your own heart before you get on your knees or sit in your prayer closet or whatever you do before you go to bed at night, sitting in your bed praying. You've got to examine your heart and you've got to forgive other people who sinned against you. Because Jesus made some shocking statements throughout his life. And one of them is this. He says, if you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your sins. And yet we live in our North American Christianity, we kind of simplify things and we say, well, if you just confess your sins to God, then he'll forgive you. Yeah, but this is pretty clear, folks. Jesus says, if you do not forgive other people when they sin against you, God will not forgive you of your sins. Now that's harsh, but it's true. This is, are we doing okay? This is big stuff. This is big stuff. Prayer, here's what's so beautiful about prayer. Here's something I love about prayer. Prayer is an opportunity for you to allow God to just kind of roam around inside here and examine your heart, and he'll bring people to mind that you go, oh yeah, yeah, I need to forgive them. Yeah, I got hurt by them today. Yeah, I'm harboring bitterness against so-and-so. You got to let him do that examining work in your heart, and then you got to make a decision right then and right there to forgive them. You don't wait. You don't say, yeah, I'm going to work on that. Yeah, I'm gonna go get a book on forgiving other people. I'm gonna sign up for a workshop about, I'm gonna call Pastor Tim and ask him to forgive other people. No, in that moment, you say, I forgive them in Jesus' name. In that moment. And if you need to, whatever the circumstances are, you might need to go and talk to that person and tell them that you've forgiven them. This is good stuff, isn't it? All right, let's move on there. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What is that? Prayer is a prayer for protection. Prayer, you need to pray for protection. God, protect me from evil. God, protect me from disaster. God, protect me from temptation. God, protect me from sickness. God, protect me from war. You want a good psalm to pray over your household and over your family and over our land is Psalm 91. You make that a prayer for yourself. No, sickness doesn't come near me. Here's what Psalm 91 says. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You pray that over yourself. Say, God, no harm is coming to me or my children or my household. No war is coming to my land, my community, because you're protecting me. Book of Psalms says that the angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear them. And you fear God if you've done step number one. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. When you realize that God's holy, you have a reverential fear for him. Doesn't mean you're afraid of him. It means you honor and respect him. And when you fear the Lord, God sends angels on assignment to protect you. How cool is that? When you fear God, you live your life with a desire to live a holy life. So let me show you what it looks like to not fear God. You believe in God. You may confess Jesus as your Lord. You may have acknowledged that you're a sinner and that you need him. But a believer doesn't have a fear of God when they're living their life in complete sin. And they have no intention of changing. That's someone who does not have fear for God. And when you get a reverential fear for God, which simply means that you honor him as he knows what's right and he's bigger than you, then angels are on assignment to protect you. Everywhere that you go, everywhere that I go, I have a fleet of bodyguards around me. Did you know that? You can't touch me. You can't touch me because I have angels surrounding me. Every night before I fall asleep, I plead the blood of Jesus over my home and I thank God for the angels that are encamped around our household, around our property line, around every door and every window, and no evil shall befall us, nor plague come nigh our dwelling. Every night. And I don't do it to be religious. I don't do it because, oh, if I don't do it, something bad is going to happen to me tonight. See, sometimes we get fearful when we start talking about praying, and it's good to pray these things, and we think, oh my goodness, if I don't pray all these prayers, if I don't invite God into my day today, then he won't come, and something bad is going to happen. And if I don't pray for protection, and if I don't pray for protection when I drive today, then maybe I'm going to get into a car accident. It's not about being fearful that if you don't do these things, something bad is going to happen to you. It's about developing a habit of doing these things and believing that God answers prayer. He's with you wherever you go. Prayer is for protection. And finally, prayer is surrender. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Yours is the kingdom. You and I, when we pray, we remind ourselves that life is not about building our kingdom, it's about building his. Let me say that again. Life is not about building our kingdom, it's about building his. It's surrender. It's not about building me a bigger house, it's about building him a bigger house. That's what I want my life to be about. It's not about my family, it's about his family. It's about brothers and sisters in the Lord. When you pray, you surrender yourself to him and you give him all the glory. You know what that means? When you look at all of your accomplishments and all the things that you've done in your life, you know how much credit you get for that? Zero. Zilch. Nada. Nothing. Nothing. Everything that would make you look in the mirror and think something special about yourself, you get no credit for that. And a person who lives a life with a connection to God and a prayer life with God, they're okay with that. Because they're okay without getting the glory because they just want it all to go to him. God, I just give you all the glory. I don't give you glory for what I do. I give it to you. Someone encourages you and someone smiles at you and someone tells you what a wonderful person you are and you're so kind and you're so great and you did such a great job at work and you cook the best meals. You can have all the praise and all the encouragement and you need to discipline yourself to give that to God immediately. And don't you dare let it go to your head or you're in trouble. Because you are special, you are wonderful, but you can do nothing apart from God. I'm not tearing you down, I'm trying to build you up. Everything that you've accomplished, God enabled you to do it. God gave you the smarts to do what you're doing. He gave you the skills to do what you're doing. God gave it to you. You get no credit. None. And a person who prays, the end of every day, you can just give it all to him and say, God, you're good. Thank you for every good thing that you've done in my life today. I give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And where there's areas where there's struggle and you feel that there isn't a reason to give you praise, you know what it's time to do? It's time to get practical. God, I need you. See, there's different seasons of life where you might be praying for more of God, I need you. And then there's other seasons of life where you might be just being able to sit back and say, God, I give you praise for all that you've done. Jesus, in one of his most striking moments, you remember when Jesus went into the temple and he started flipping over the tables of those who were selling the offering animals and the money changers and he started picking up their coins and rolling it out the window. You remember that? Kind of had one of those lost your temper kind of moments. Remember what Jesus said? Do you not know that it is written that my house shall be called a house of prayer? Prayer. Isn't that interesting? Jesus didn't say my house should be called a house of preaching. Jesus didn't say my house should be called a house of singing songs. Jesus said my house should be a house of prayer. Prayer, how important do you think prayer is to the Christian life? When Jesus would cause such a ruckus, and it says one another time in John chapter 2, it says that Jesus, he made a whip. Can you picture Jesus making a whip? Nice, sweet, peaceful Jesus sitting at home about to go to the synagogue and he's not bringing an offering, he's bringing a whip. And he brings a whip to, don't do this next Sunday by the way, he brings a whip to the temple, and he starts driving people out with a whip. He doesn't hit people, but he hits pretty close and drives them out. Why? Because they weren't there to pray. Their hearts weren't right. When you gather together, when you come here, this is not about coming to hear a sermon. You come here to pray. When we pray, when someone on stage prays, you pray. When you get an opportunity to spend some time with the Lord, you pray. You come here to pray. When we call a prayer meeting and say, come, we got Wednesday every noon, we're here. Every Friday at 7 o'clock, we're here. Come, we're inviting you to come and pray. Why is it so that we can have events and everybody shows up to an event and we call a prayer meeting and nobody shows up? When Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. People, we need to get on our knees and pray. Your family needs you to get on your knees and pray. This country, I love Canada, and we're so blessed here, but this country needs us to pray. We are headed in the wrong direction in so many ways. And the answer isn't in smarter initiatives and a better budget plan. My goodness. The answer's in prayer. We need to get on our knees and get on our face and pray. And when we pray, God moves. He works. He does. My house shall be called a house of prayer. You know, the church was not birthed in the midst of someone preaching. It was birthed when the church was praying. Acts chapter 2, what were they doing? They devoted themselves to prayer. The church was not birthed when people were singing songs. The church was birthed in prayer. You know how this church was birthed? Prayer. 17-year-old girl started holding prayer meetings in Niagara Falls. 1935. That's how this started. They didn't call a board meeting. They got on their knees and said, God, we need you. Come on, church, we need to wake up and stop thinking that we're so smart and we're so clever that we're going to figure things. You can't figure out what you need for your family. You can't figure out what you need for your business. You can't figure it out. You're not smart enough, but God is. We need to pray. God, help us. We need you. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call to me and I will answer you. Prayer is not a nice ingredient to include in the life of the church. Prayer is the fuel that enables the church to be the church. Without prayer, we have no connection with God. And if we have no connection with God, we have nothing. 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 nothing, nothing. Revelation chapter 5, we read this beautiful scene. In verse 8, it says, when Jesus had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Come on, can you see this, that there's this worship scene in heaven taking place that John saw? And in the midst of this worship scene, where they're worshiping the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world, there's this golden bowl of sweet-smelling incense for the Lord. You know what it is? It's your prayers. Your prayers matter to God. Your prayers matter to God. They create an atmosphere of worship in heaven when we pray. It moves heaven. So don't think you're just being polite when you pray before you eat. Why do you pray before you eat? I asked God that question once. I said, do we really, certain things get religious and you just kind of do it because you do it because you do it because you do it. I asked God, do we really need to pray before we eat? And I just felt him ask me this question. You go ahead and try eating without it. Yeah, you know what? Maybe I'm going to find out tomorrow that romaine lettuce was recalled. Remember that? And ooh, what kind of, was that Jane's chicken fingers? Those are recalled too. Come on, you see that in the news? Anyone ate at a restaurant before? Okay, yeah, two of you. Okay, anyone worked at a restaurant before in the kitchen? Okay, if you've worked in a restaurant, keep your hands in the air if you think we should pray for our food. Come on, I'm telling you, your food will fall on the floor and the manager will pick it up and go, enjoy your lunch this afternoon. So God said, you just go ahead and try eating without it. I said, no thanks, I'm good, I'll keep praying. Why? Because I believe that when I pray for my food, God actually blesses it and will keep me healthy from sickness. I actually believe that. So don't make your prayers religious. This is not about like, oh yeah, we gotta pray now. No, it's like, I don't want to eat without praying. I don't want to go through my day without praying. I don't want to know what life was like without prayer. I don't want to know what that looks like. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to trust that God hears my prayers and that he answers my prayers. Hebrews 4:16 says we are to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. If you need something from God, ladies and gentlemen, go and get it. How do you do it? You pray. You pray, God, I invite you into my marriage. I invite you into my finances. You pray. You pray. And when you don't have strength to pray by yourself, pray with other people. Most of us, we say, well, you know, Jesus just said to go hide in the closet and pray. So that's what I do. My prayer life is just me and Jesus, and I don't let anybody else in. No. That's not the point. There are many times, how many of you know that when you are struggling, it's very difficult to pray for that thing? That's how it works. I have such faith to pray for sick people to be healed, and then I get sick. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to pray. Come on, anyone else? So you need to get yourself around other people, get yourself into corporate settings. We meet every week for prayer, Wednesdays and Fridays, every week. You got to get yourself around other people, and you just say, and there are times where I just say to Christine, I say, I need you to pray for me right now, because I just don't feel like I have any umph in me. Can you pray for me? You need that in your life. I shared the story of the miracle at Dunkirk. Let me tell you a story of a miracle that happened here in Niagara Worship Center. Many of you know Lois. Lois is a mighty woman of God. She's a kingdom shaker. And she's been going to noon prayer since before I came to this church. And she's here every week, one of the many faithfuls here, every Wednesday. And she's praying for things and bringing up things in her family and asking for prayer for her family. Lois has two boys, and asked her if I could share this story this morning. One of her boys she hadn't seen in 12 years. The other one she hasn't seen in 5. Hasn't seen her grandkids. 12 years with the one boy, 5 years with the other. Tons of pain, tons of relational stuff. But she keeps praying. We keep praying. Within the last 6 weeks, she's had connection with both of them, and they're going to see them. One of them they saw this past Christmas, hasn't seen them in 12 years, and they reached out to them and said, it's time for us to come over and have some dinner. Christmas. 12 years. The other son, 5 years, lives on the other side of Canada. Haven't seen their grandkids in 5 years. Praying, 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 trusting God, trusting God, trusting God. They reach out to Lois and her husband and say, the grandkids miss you. It's time to see you. Why don't you come and see us this summer? Come on, folks. God answers prayer. He answers prayer. Don't think that you're shouting at a ceiling when you pray. God answers prayer. Let us be a people who pray, to stand to our feet. And I want to invite you right now. There's something on your heart. I know that there is. It might be a family member. It might be a need in your life. It might be a struggle that you're going through. There's something that is on your mind right now. I want to just invite you to pray. Let's take a moment before we leave this place and just have your own fellowship with the Lord. And then I'll close us in prayer in just a minute.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that your ears are in this place, that you hear us, God, that you hear the cries of our heart, Father. And Lord, we just declare that you are good, you are faithful, that Lord God, you are not ignoring us, that you hear the cries of our heart, that you know the things that are upon our minds, Lord God, through the days and even through the nights, Father. And we just right now, we just cast the care of those things onto you, God. And as we pray, Lord, we just declare that we trust you. We trust you, Father. Forgive us for not trusting you, Lord God. Forgive us for not trusting you with our families and with our finances and with our future, God. Forgive us for thinking that we could figure it out on our own, God. We just declare that you are good, you are holy, you are faithful, you are righteous. And God, we make a decision today, Father, that every prayer that you answer, we're going to give you glory for it. We're going to give you the praise, that we're going to shout it from the rooftops. When you answer our prayers, God, when you move in our lives, when you move in our families, Lord, we just thank you for it. Let's do this. Let's pray this together before we go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Ask our prayer team to come forward. And we want to invite you to take advantage of our prayer team who wants to pray for you. But God bless you as you go, and know that God hears your prayers. Amen.